else might have a chance to see it. I think it's, you know, oh, kids. Come on out here, kids. What's that? Is that? Oh, work on it. I'll get better at this. Okay. They knew what to do. Do you see how responsive they were? You don't have to tell them twice. Sweet. Get me out of here. All right. I have no idea what I was saying now. So last week, I was just so blessed, and I think what I thought of many times throughout the week is you really don't know somebody's story until you hear it, right? I mean, I never would have guessed that they had been through so much and have been, honestly, so victorious in all of that. So what a privilege it was that they invited us into their lives. And today, Martha, you are going to invite us into your life. We had a chance to talk this week. I think one of the things that I was most impressed by Martha is how articulate and how able and willing she was to share what God has done in her life. So I know you're going to be blessed this morning. So first of all, let's give a little love to Martha. Come on, give a little love. You can't see it, but I just got a death stare. So, all right. So, Martha, why don't you start? And I know a lot of the congregation knows you, but like I said, many of them have known you for years, but may not actually know some of your background. So, can you start by telling us a little bit about your childhood and your upbringing?
Okay. I wrote things down because I forget. As a kid, I was a really shy kid, and we'd moved up to a different house. And they built a new church out in Rochester. It was Faith Assembly of God. And this sounds really loud. But they invited us. I was 10 years old. And they invited us to come to church. And my mom and I were the only two that would go. I have two brothers and a sister and my dad, and they would not go. My dad said the church was full of hypocrites. And he would fit right in. But I had a Sunday school teacher. Her name was Mildred Rains. She was Betty Cowger's mom. And she was a loving, caring, overweight grandma. And she introduced me to Jesus. And then I grew up in the church. I had pastors James and Mary Lee Mosley, who taught us like we were their own kids. So he was like a step in for my spiritual dad. And I'm still in contact with them today. I got married, had two children, served Jesus, and raised my family, and I started coming here in 1994.
Awesome. So can you tell us about a pivotal time in your life that made you question God or question your faith?
Okay, I'm gonna try to get through this. In 1996, I got sick. I felt exhausted and I hurt all over and I couldn't get out of bed. I thought I was losing my mind. I didn't know for 2 years almost what was wrong with me. They ran tests and they ran some blood tests and I had a low white cell count. So they called me on the phone and they told me that they thought I might have leukemia and wanted me to go to an oncologist hematologist. And that was devastating. But I went to her, I was scared, and she said that I did not have leukemia, but I had fibromyalgia. And I'd never heard that before. It was a terrible, terrible F word. Friends did not understand, and they stayed away. They didn't come around us anymore. But I had great doctors who worked with me for several years to help me live and cope with this illness. I was told to focus on what I could do, not what I couldn't, and to just do one thing every day, whether it was to sweep one floor, to wash one window, and that was really hard for me because I'm a person that likes to have everything clean and done at the same time, and that was not going to happen. And then in 1999, my mom, who was my closest friend, she was 64, she passed away. And a lady in the church told me that God was calling all the saints home. And that made me mad because he had lots of saints. I only had one mom and I needed her. And he still loved me though through all of that. Life was extremely hard.
Can you, just real quickly, one of the things you shared with me earlier this week, so just to put that in perspective, You went from a woman who was able to do everything to a woman that could do very little. And so your mom really helped you go to the places you needed. And so when she was gone, it wasn't, I mean, it's bad enough to lose your mother, but you lost your lifeline as well. She was, in many ways, what made you able to do certain things.
Yeah, so. I couldn't drive to church because I had like a brain fog. That's why I wrote things down, because it's real easy to lose track of what I'm saying, and I would make mistakes when I drove. So I couldn't do that. My husband worked overnight, so he slept during the day, and my mom was there. She took my kids to church, and she was gone. And after that, there was no one from the church that contacted me. I didn't receive any phone calls, any cards. There was nothing. So that's where I was in pain.
Yeah, so during that time when you were not connected to the church, and I think there are a lot of other people that have felt that way too, like, am I invisible? Why doesn't the church care? And sometimes, actually Mark and I were just talking about this before church, sometimes pastors can't read minds, they don't know what's going on, other people don't know what's going on. So can you talk a little bit about, just briefly, about what that was like for you to feel disconnected from the church in that way?
I felt forgotten. I just felt, my husband and I would take me every 2 weeks, we'd go to the grocery store, and the cashier and then the teller at the bank were the only people that talked to me, that asked me, how are you today? I felt like they cared, and there was just no one else.
All right. Anything else you want to share about that season?
Okay. It was hard.
It was hard.
It was just really hard.
And it was how many years?
Over 10 years.
Anybody else relate with feeling overlooked or forgotten? Have you ever felt that way? All right, so how did you see God in the midst of your circumstances?
Okay, in 2008, my doctor, like I said, I had really wonderful doctors, because I would tell him, I think I'm going crazy, and he'd say, no, you're not. He said, this is real. So I am thankful for that. And we started a new medication, and it was like the brain fog started to clear. And before this, I thought I would never, ever feel rested again. Just, it didn't matter how much I slept, I couldn't get any rest. And I hurt horribly. And, but this, I woke up one day and I thought, oh, I had taken the medicine about a week, 10 days, and I thought, I feel rested. It was amazing. And I was able to drive to church again, and I hesitantly came back here to First Church. I really didn't want to, but I did. And when I came through, I was greeted by Garnet and Marlene Harrington. Marlene has known me since I was a teenager. And Garnet shook my hand, and he said, welcome home. And I was home. And that was when my healing journey began. I still hurt, but I decided I'm going to go to church. Whether I hurt or not, I want to be around other people. And I could not stand through one worship song. I couldn't lift my arms to praise God, but I was going to come anyway.
So then talk a little bit about, in fact, you used the word, and I loved it when we talked, you used the word process. In fact, she made the statement to me, and I thought this was really profound. You believe in instant healing.
Yes, I do.
But God used a process in your life. So can you talk a little bit about the process, including your long walks and all of that?
Okay. God put Christian women in my path. I went to the Bible study, and Judy Songer, Linda Bartlett, and Vicki Proctor, they brought me encouragement, they brought me friendship, and they brought much, much laughter, which I needed desperately. And 2 years after that, my husband of 31 years asked me for a divorce. And I couldn't survive without those women. I needed those women in my life, and they brought me through. I believe today I would not be here if it weren't for their friendship. And then in 2012, I started walking with Juanita Wright. She was 82 years old, and I thought, when we were done, I thought I was going to die. I went home, we walked 3 miles at the park, and I would get the heating pad out, the ibuprofen, I'd go into bed. She'd go home and work in her yard. And I didn't realize it. I kept at it, though, because I thought, I'm going to do this. And I didn't realize at the time that our walks and our talks were healing me emotionally and physically. I had a lot of hurt and anger in there that had festered over the years. Unforgiveness. I went through a lot of hard times. And through these walks, I realized I have to forgive those people. Whether they're sorry or not, I have to forgive them. And it brought a release, a healing in my emotions. And I had troubles with my memory then, and so I thought, I'm gonna help with the attendance with Kids Club. I'm gonna learn these kids' names. And I helped with that, and I grew to love those kids. And my prayer for those kids is that they would fall in love with Jesus just like I did at 10 years old, where it stuck. He never left me, and I want that for them.
You also had talked a little bit about one of the people you needed to forgive was God. You had a lot of anger towards God, like, why me? Why has all this happened? So can you just share a little bit about what that was like to realize that, and then how you overcame that?
Okay. I was mad at God. I knew he was still there. I knew he still loved me. But I was mad that he took my mom, and that I went through all the struggles. I'd worked in the church. I'd served him my whole life. And these awful things were happening to me. And it was like he surrounded me. I remember one Friday, I didn't share this with you, but one Friday morning I was praying with the women. And I was right over there in that front pew and praying. And it was like I could see white all around me. And like there were arms, it was like robes. I couldn't see any faces, I couldn't see any hands. But I knew that Jesus was surrounding me, that the Holy Spirit was right there with me. And just bringing healing to me inside, that God understood me. Because a lot of people didn't understand. Why are you angry? Why do you feel this way? Why can't you do this or do that? And God knew me before I was born, and I knew that. And so it brought a lot of healing. And I don't know what question we're on, but he definitely pushed me out of my comfort zone. I had never wanted to go on a missions trip. I would tell people, I will give you an offering. I will pray for you. Have fun. And the missionaries from Puente in Tijuana, Mexico came and spoke. And I was sitting between Dan Gillette and Vicky Proctor. And they spoke, and it was just like God was saying, listen. And when they were done, they looked at me and they said, we're going. And I said, okay. And then I thought, oh my gosh, what am I saying? You know, I don't want to go on a missions trip. But
you'd never even flown at that point, right?
I had never flown in my life. I was born and raised in Ottumwa, lived a very secure life right here, and I was comfortable. And God said, you're going to come. And it was good. It was encouraging. I survived. I did not have a heart attack. But the last day on Friday at the mission, I had to stay back because I was done. My body wouldn't go, so I had to stay and rest. But it was, we built relationships with each other. And it wasn't so much about going on the mission field. It was to teach me to trust God because I had trusted in people. I had trusted my husband. I had trusted my mom. I had depended on them. And God was saying, I need you to trust me. And then in 2016, I had actually volunteered for 2 years at hospice. And I didn't, you know, this was weird, hospice. I never wanted to be around hospice. And I hadn't worked since 1992, and I needed to figure out something for my life, for my medical insurance. I needed a job, and I didn't have any college education. Like I said, I hadn't worked for over 20 years, and I volunteered, though, in the office and out in the yard at hospice, and in 2016, God opened a door for me to become the receptionist and secretary at hospice, and it's hospice serving Davis and Wapello counties. We serve, and that's what we're called to do, is to serve, and we're a family. We don't always get along, things aren't perfect, but we are a family, and people say that working at hospices would be depressing, but it's not. I never dreamed God would put me there, but he showed me. I was reading in Franklin Graham's book, Through My Father's Eyes, about Billy Graham, and it says, there's a quote in there that says, what we call life is a journey to death. What we call death is the gateway to life. God just put me to have compassion for people, the families, the friends that are left, and my coworkers. They go through things, and I have a compassion that I never had before because I was so full of anger, unforgiveness, the health problems, and God just used me, and I don't make a lot of money, but I learned at a very young age to pay my tithes, and God will provide, and He always has.
One of the things I think is so neat about this, so think about Martha went from being a fully able, independent woman to not being able to do anything, hurting, to feeling forgotten, and then God has restored you, and then He put her in a place of influence serving people who are in a lot of pain, who are feeling overlooked or forgotten. How amazing is it that God takes these things, these seasons of our lives, and then you can look down the road, and how often has He positioned you perfectly to minister out of that? And so you literally get paid to minister out of what God has done in you. And I think you're so right. You know, sometimes we go through really hard things and there isn't a clear answer of why. But we do know one of the answers to why is that God is going to use it. And so I just think that's so cool to celebrate that and to see that, yes, there is a compassion in you. And I believe you're a compassionate woman anyway, but there's something about going through that that allows you to look another person in the eyes and say, I really do understand how you feel. So I think it's so cool that she's making forgotten people feel seen and visible. Really awesome.
And I do want to say that when I worship today, I can stand through the whole worship
service. I watched you, I noticed.
I can raise my hands, and I love the Lord, and I'm so thankful that I can do it.
I love it. I love it. In fact, I literally had the thought during worship, and you may have noticed, I stopped playing and just raised my hands. Like, if Martha can do that, I can do that, right? I have no reason to not worship God with all that I am. So I know this morning we did the song Sinking Deep, which is a song that has meant a lot to you. And in a few minutes, we're going to play a Danny Gokey song that also meant a lot to you. How about some scriptures? What scriptures have really helped you through this time?
John 16:33 says, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And then Hebrews 13:5, it says, He will never leave us or forsake us. That meant a lot to me. And my very favorite of all time is Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things have passed away.
That's our hope. That's what we have to look forward to, isn't it? That's really good. So what do you hope that people will take away from your experience? What do you want this to minister to those who are here today?
I just want you to know, don't ever give up. It is a process. I do believe in instant healing, but life is a process. And it's a journey for me. At the end of that road, the journey is complete and we're in heaven. There is no more pain, no more death. look forward to that. Jesus loves you more than anyone else could ever, ever love you. And he's always there for us. He never leaves us, even if we're angry. Even if we yell at him, he's still there and still understands us. And there's always hope. And at the end, we get our healing. We get our everything from him. Just don't ever give up.
It's awesome. Good stuff. Well, this time we want to listen to a Danny Gopi song. So, Sarah, will you go ahead and roll that for us? That's an amazing song. That's an amazing song. Well, I want to do a couple things. Will you just hang here tight? I just want to take a couple more minutes and then we'll wrap up. But there are two things that I want to do. The first one, would it be okay? I know that Martha has gone through a process of healing, but I also believe that God's not done healing her yet. And I was wondering if it would be okay as her church family if we would pray and ask God to continue that process. In fact, I think we should just contend for the miraculous this morning. Amen? And then the second thing that I just really am sensing for you, such an important part of your journey was wrestling with, God, why have you allowed this to happen? And being angry at God. But you used a word with me when we talked Monday night. You said that once you forgave God, you felt free. And you kept talking over and over again about the freedom of that. So what I would like to do before we go today is to give you an opportunity. If that resonated with you, that you have anger towards God, which, by the way, at some point in our lives, we all get angry at God. We just don't always recognize it, right? Sometimes we put other labels on it. Like we say, oh, that person's being rebellious against God. You know what that really means? They're being mad. They're mad at God. So we all get angry at God. The question is, do we work through it and allow that to create a greater intimacy, or do we allow that to become a wall that hardens us against the Lord? And so I really just sense this morning that there is a grace here, that if you want to just let go of being angry towards God, there's a grace here to do that this morning. But let's start. Can some of the elders come up? Can we just surround you and pray for you? Would that be all right? Some of the elders come on up. Sarah and Travis, why don't you guys come up? Yeah, absolutely. Sisters coming up here. Yeah, why don't you, let's bring you down here so we can get more people around you. And I'm only calling these guys up as representatives, but we are all believers, which means we all have the authority to pray and ask for healing. So as an entire body, we're all going to do this. So would you please extend your right hand towards Martha up here? Yes, Father, we thank you. We worship you. Father, we thank you for Martha. We thank you for her testimony. That is a testimony of your goodness. It's a testimony of your power. I thank you that you... Yes, you do heal and process. And Father, we ask that you would this morning continue that process. We believe in the miraculous. We believe that you can heal. And so, Father, we ask right now for complete healing, 100% healing of Martha's body. And we speak to the fibromyalgia and we say, be gone in Jesus' name. Her body belongs to Jesus. Her body is whole and healed. We declare that in Jesus' name. And Father, I also thank you not only for her healing in her physical body, but I thank you for healing in her emotions. And so, God, I just ask that this season of her life would be a season where she is filled with joy. I pray that you would release greater joy to her. I pray that in the morning when she's driving to work, she would be filled with joy. I pray that at night when she's laying in bed and she's talking to you, she would be filled with joy, that joy would ooze out of her everywhere she goes. I thank you that in this season of her life, you're going to bring new relationships into her life. People who need to know who you are. I thank you that there are going to be salvations as a result of her relationships with them. I thank you that as she serves at hospice, you have anointed her and called her to minister to people. And she doesn't go in there just to get a paycheck. She goes in there to do your work. And I thank you that you do provide for all of her needs. Yes, you do, God. I thank you for that. But I thank you that you use her and that what she's storing up is treasures in heaven. We thank you for Martha this morning. We thank you for her testimony. And that we get to be part of our church family. We worship you. We praise you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. And right now, so if that is you, if that, when I said that, mentioned that earlier about being angry at God because you don't understand why. If that's you, let's just take one more moment. Let's just pray. So Father, in this moment of grace, this moment of grace where we can surrender to you our anger. We can surrender to you our questions. We can surrender to you our confusion about why something happened. I pray that you would come and you would meet us. And so right now we surrender that to you, and we invite you to teach us how to walk that out, to teach us how to trust you again, to teach us how to surrender. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. We worship you.
Let's everybody stand together this morning. I want to thank Crystal for taking the lead this morning. Thank you so much, Crystal. Huge thank you to Crystal and Sarah and Katie for taking the lead. I don't know about you guys, but every so often you just kind of need a break, and today was my break day. But there's something I really want you to do. I want you to look around, and if you see somebody who's not here, who's normally here, do them a favor and just reach out and make sure they're okay. That was one of the biggest things I caught from Martha's story, was that she felt overlooked by her church family. She was gone for so many weeks and nobody called. And then a few months went by and a couple of years went by. Not a card, not a phone call, not a drop in. Judy does a great job of, if I see that somebody's been missing, I'll say, hey, send them a card. But I can't see everybody. And I can't know where everybody is. So if there's somebody that's normally here that's not here, just pick up the phone. If you don't have their phone number, shoot me a message. If you don't have my phone number, come and talk to me. Let's just get the word out there that we miss seeing people. And we want to know they're okay. Sometimes they need they have a family day, they have to be gone. But sometimes they just feel alone and they need to know they're not. We've been in that place before. Next week, I'm so excited. Zeke, will you come here a second? Yeah, I'm going to put him on the spot real quick. I've gotten a chance to meet with Zeke twice over the last couple of weeks. And I'm super excited that next week Zeke is going to share his story. It kind of builds off of Martha's just a little bit, because there was a word in there he used about being rejected. And Zeke survived the ultimate rejection to redemption. The story of what God can do. So if you know somebody who ultimately rejected at the beginning of life, and had to really fight through to find Christ, I would encourage you to invite them next week. Somebody who's been abandoned by their own family, somebody who's been left out to dry, bring them, because I guarantee Zeke's story is powerful. You're going to want to hear what God can do when you place your trust in him, okay? So thank you so much, Martha. I didn't know some of your story, and you make so much more sense to me now. You make so much more sense to me now. And getting to know Zeke's story has been very powerful. Hearing your story, so please invite folks, because you're not going to want to miss what God has done in this man's life. Let's pray so we can close out and we'll go about our day. Thank you, Crystal, but don't get used to this 11:15 stuff. Okay. So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Martha. We thank you, God, for what you have done and what you can do because of her story. Lord, we pray for those who today feel abandoned and alone by the church. Those who feel abandoned and alone by their family, Lord God, we pray that we will take a step out and just let them know they're not alone. We love them, we're praying for them, and we miss them. Lord, bring your children home. God, we pray right now for those who are battling all those different things that Martha battled. And Lord, all those that today, like Crystal said, had battled anger against you, Lord, we thank you for your forgiveness. And that we can walk in your peace and be led by the Spirit. Now, Lord, I pray that this week we are able to open our mouths and share the hope that we've learned today, and invite more to come and hear what else you can do in the lives of those you've blessed and those you've called. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Be blessed today before you go. Give somebody a hug.